Movies. We watch movies. You listen to us talk about movies that we watched without you.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Now this is podcasting.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Films Cast 64. This is your number one podcast for bashing on things that people enjoy.
Uh-oh.
That's what we do all day.
Uh-oh.
Adam, what are we talking about today that we're going to hate on?
We're talking about Billy Madison, and Trey, I know you were saying that as kind of a joke, but...
Oh.
Uh-oh.
We're going to bash Billy Madison today?
I'm going to bash Billy Madison today.
Are we getting... We're not going to do a 10-minute lead-up to the point of the show. We're just going to get right into it today.
Yeah, I heard you bitching about it the last two episodes in the show.
Well, okay.
So guess what? We're going right in.
We're going right in.
Billy Madison. This is a movie that I don't know. We've gone back and we've watched a lot of comedies that we thought were funny back in the day. And this one is, man, that first 30 minutes is real hard to get through.
I think I wrote this. What I wrote. This was
what,
the ultimate Adam Sandler does goofy voices movie.
Right.
And like, this was like, hey, Adam, we just want you to do Opera Man the whole effing time.
It does feel like it is a... You know, a first movie where it's like, oh yeah, I have this idea for a movie and this is going to be funny. But until he goes to school, which I think is like 20 to 30 minutes, maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe it just felt that way. But it is real bad.
It is an odd setup. And I was trying not to do this, because I'll do this when we're going back and watching these comedies, is I'll try to overanalyze everything.
Right.
And be like, well, that's not possible. And I think Step Brothers did a fairly good job of setting up these two guys, and somewhat plausible that these two guys would still be living with their parents at age 40 and they're underdeveloped. You know, they pulled that off pretty well. I don't know what Billy Madison's problem is. Is he socially, or is he mentally disabled? Is he? I don't know. And then just all of a sudden he, you know, the whole gist of the movie, if you've not seen it, is that it's this spoiled rich kid, Billy Madison's kind of just skated through life. Well, has skated through life. And then his dad's going to give the company away. He's stepping down, and he wants
giant hotel,
yes,
industry owner, and he's about to step down and is going to, in theory, give it to his child, who just, but it's not even, it's not even that he's getting drunk and is kind of like a, I don't know, like a classic Seth Rogen slacker. He is
mentally challenged a little bit. Like, I'm trying to get to is there's no point where he would ever, you know, there's no motivation for him to want to have that job or be, you know, there's no, nothing where he's like, there's nothing setting up like, hey, he's has dreams or anything or any kind of motivation whatsoever.
Nothing.
You know,
he just wants it because he wants it.
Yeah.
There was one of the biggest problems I had with is like, just give him a little bit of something, even if it's, and I think it kind of becomes this, even if it's just hate for Bradley Whitford, if it's just like, no, I just want to screw over this guy.
Yeah.
Like, at least make it, but he wants it for no real reason.
Right.
Other than he is owed it by birthright. Which is like, oh,
I think I wrote is Eric the good guy in this?
Yeah,
movie?
he's the one that worked for it.
Yeah,
like he has bad intentions. He's a bad dude, or even make it a little bit weirder, or like worse, where if he's like, yeah, I'm going to take over this company and I'm going to cut all these employees.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
All this stuff. And so then he cares about the people. Like, he's, I'm trying to remember Mr. Deeds exactly, but I think that's kind of the plot to Mr.
Deeds.
That
is the plot of Mr. Deeds, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I think, I definitely want to rewatch Mr. Deeds because I really like that one. But, and that also was that Adam Sandler's character was a lot more likable. He was a lot more, you know, sensitive, and it was more, it's more just a, you know, like a farm boy going into the big city kind of deal.
Right.
And yeah, he's more likable. It's more, yeah, and it's more of a villain.
So like, I don't know, because he has a good relationship with like the maid, and you could you could have done something, and it wouldn't have had to been a big thing. It could have been one line where he hears Bradley Whitford saying, "Yeah, we're gonna cut all these because they bring up the number of jobs a lot of times,
and he's like, and he's the one that cares about the jobs,
right? Like the, exactly, you know, Eric, he's like, don't you worry about all these employees and how they're all gonna be." This company's going to get run into the ground by this idiot man-child?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of who I should be rooting for.
Uh-huh.
And also, there's just so much... Like, I'm all for weird stuff in movies and, like...
Yeah,
weird
I wrote things, this down.
Weird things that happen. Hot Rod, the fall down the mountain or the cool beans stuff. And maybe this is just that era's version of that, but
and
like,
didn't they Hot Rod? They said they wanted to do a Billy Madison movie. I think I remember reading that.
That's possible. I guess I don't know. Like, at least that Hot Rod is so specifically defined in what this is, what everyone's motivations are. That's all I need. It's good, and then the jokes. But then like him chasing the penguin.
Kind of like the penguin, though.
The penguin is the callback to the penguin later at the house.
Yes, the callback's the best.
Is funny.
Yes. Oh, I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's funny. I just don't know what. At what part. Like, when he. When they light the dog poop.
He's drinking. Like, I don't know.
When they light the dog poop on fire.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a prank that existed.
Yeah.
So it's not even like he's creative in his pranks. And he's like, oh,
I do like get out of my business, devil woman.
Right. Well,
that's a good line.
And the way they over explain it is pretty funny. Yeah. There's also a very funny like comedy cut going into the dog poop scene. I'm trying to remember exactly what's being said. I think it's Bradley Whitford fighting with his dad, and his dad's like, don't worry, Billy will find his way or something like that, and immediately goes to
Billy, what were you when will you find what you're looking for?
Right.
And then he goes, there's a nice piece of shit.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. Like, there's obviously like problems with, there's a lot of funny stuff in this. It's just kind of weirdly brought up, and some of the jokes that I think are decently funny, I don't think get played in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the when he's up for story time, and he's like, "You go out there and you find that fucking dog."
Yeah,
like all the kids are asleep. You don't get any reaction from anybody. Yeah. It just like kind of like. The comedy is him saying that within a, like, kindergarten setting, but it just kind of, like, happens and nothing is said. There's some other weird 30, stuff.
30 bag lunches is a good one, but they don't really go back to that at all.
Right. That's another one that just, like, him yelling nonsense at the table. Like, that's when it's like, what's going on here?
That's what I'm talking about, where it just seems like, what is this guy's deal?
Right.
You know, it's not like Step Brothers where they're acting like they're 10. You know, like, they're obviously acting like they're 10.
Yeah.
This is just like, he's acting like he's got something wrong with them. You know, to put it lightly. There is a lot of just, like, weird, and I, even as a kid, I was like, oh, there's a bunch of just weird stuff in this movie in general.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like weird, just like offbeat stuff. Like when Miss Slippy puts the paste on her face.
Right.
Or the clown. Or Steve Buscemi putting lipstick on after he crosses Billy Madison's name off the list.
Uh-huh.
You got the weird ass, principal who's wearing a captain.
Murdered
somebody. Man, there's just and a it's, bunch of. Then the snot queen that she's rubbing her nose with the snot in her.
Right.
Yeah, just stuff like that.
And there's stuff, there's times when it worked, like, not all those are bad. Some of them are kind of like off-putting, and some of them are pretty funny.
I think the pace was off-putting, but it's kind of funny because we had a guidance counselor in elementary school who was pretty much that character.
Oh yeah,
was that very lovey-dovey, everything is special kind of, you know? Yeah. So that was kind of funny. The lipstick always was weird to me. I think when I was younger, I thought it was more of a thing than it probably was, you know?
Uh-huh.
But now I think it's just stupid. It's just a dumb thing. Yeah, just a bunch of weird stuff. Like, Chris Farley's great in it. I thought he was in this a lot more than he was.
He's so good in this movie, in the role. I think Norm MacDonald and whoever the other guys are very funny, even though I don't know like Adam Sandler is, I think, 27 in the movie. He's supposed to be
27. He's 29 in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, he's hanging out with Norm MacDonald, who's in his 40s, and the other guy who had to be.
Looks like he's in his 40s.
His 40s, which is pretty, pretty good. Yeah. Chris Farley, the. Good, great, grand, wonderful. And just all the Veronica Vaughn. Like that scene is
from experience, dude, if you know what I mean.
that's so good. That's like very classic.
That is Chris correct.
Got a great ass.
You died too young.
The dodgeball scene where he goes and plays dodgeball with the kids. Apparently, this is a story that's out there. The editor actually hit the kids as hard as he could with it, and the editor had to cut around parts where the kids were crying and stuff.
I read that.
Which is pretty funny. Yeah. that's good to be like, all right, you guys are going to be in this movie. You're going to get nailed with these.
I remember, I forgot what talk show he was on, but he was talking about that. And it might have been Jimmy Kimmel. And he's like, so have you, you know, kept in contact with those kids? So he's like, oh, no, God, no. It's funny. I think Red, like Adam Sandler, had a lot of, like, I guess the kids really loved him, and he had a lot of fun with the kids. Be probably a fun movie to do.
Yeah. You know? Oh, for sure. I think they all did. I mean, there is some other. I'm trying to remember the lunch lady part with like the sloppy Joe.
Yeah, that was weird.
Is that
deal.
Is that a?
Yeah, it's a
is that
callback
lunch,
to lunch
lady land or whatever.
Yeah, that's a callback to that Lunch Lady Land. Yeah. I did like the Mortal Kombat Donkey Kong conversation. Donkey Kong sucks. What's the actress's name? The main one.
I
she was only
tell
in
off
a
the
handful
top
of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like her. She's really good in the thing she's in. She's very attractive. But
that lady that I don't know her name, but I do know that
she's not a very big actor or actress.
She can be an actor too. Women can be actors too.
You're right,
Trey.
She's an actor. Bridget Wilson. Do you know what other movie she was in?
I couldn't tell you.
She was in I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was her first movie ever was The Last Action Hero.
Oh, okay.
And then she was Sonya in Mortal Kombat.
All right.
There you go. I found that kind of unbelievable that she would fall for Adam Sandler, but hey, he does a lot of movies where really hot, attractive women fall for him, so it's really...
the go-to move. If you're going to be a movie star, might as well... Right. Might as well kiss a attractive lady.
I thought the pee in your pants, the coolest scene was always... I thought that's always really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's a good... like... That's kind of when you get on Billy's side, I would say.
Yeah.
I will say that there is at no point... I mean, obviously, he leaves the company to the other guy, which is good. Because he never proves he's all that competent. No. If you look at the academic decathlon at the end, he wins... I'm trying to remember exactly which ones. He wins the acting contest because he dresses up like Shakespeare, because it is objectively worse than Bradley Whitford's. He bakes a pie that doesn't catch himself on fire. Let's see, he lost the sprint, but there's a lot
the math
of
one.
Right, he lost the math one. So a lot of the kind of like academic parts of it were. Not exactly academic.
No. The whole thing didn't seem that academic, honestly.
Yeah. There's a bunch of others. He cheated in the chemistry one, which I guess he won because they thought he... I mean, whatever. It's a movie, but they thought he made a shoe.
I did like him going back to high school and he's all 80s out and then no one else, everyone's just making fun of him.
It's funny because it's like I know what the joke is supposed to be, but it all kind of looks similar-ish.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just like the time kind of blurs and it's like, I mean, I guess I wouldn't necessarily not expect someone to look like that in a 90s high school movie, even though it's clearly 80s.
What else did I have here? Another gross part was when he I love the line, "Stay here as long as you can," but he grabs that fat kid's face and it just
shakes it
it's, and you see the
that was always one of my favorite parts when I was
you can hear it.
Leave.
Stay as long as you can.
Let's see. The dog's name is Happy in this.
Happy Gilmore.
And so Happy Gilmore is the next. And I think one of the executive producers last name is
Lafferty
is McGavin.
Okay, shooter. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and so I was.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of crossover. I saw McGavin.
Yeah, it's kind of all. It's all about the Sandlerverse.
It's the Sandlerverse. He has said that they're all like kind of cousins or something, you know? They're all like somewhat related.
They all exist characters within the same timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... I don't know. It's weird to say. It's... I've always thought like Happy Gilmore was better. And this... I think
pretty hands down.
Yeah.
It's better.
I don't think some of the humor works as well. It definitely feels like a let's make a movie with Adam Sandler in it or for Adam Sandler, you know?
Right.
Like this is an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
This is his first movie.
This is a star vehicle for him. They're just like, let's get him on the big screen.
Yes.
And we'll figure it out.
The song, I mean, you know, it's all the big things you remember from the movie. The song is still pretty good. Even though I can definitely tell now that it was definitely not sung by him.
Oh, not even close.
No. Hey, kids, it's me. What you thought, lad, I was dead. But I fell over. I just broke my leg and got a hemorrhage in my head. That's a good. It's all these memorable. It's kind of like Step Brothers in a way, where it's these memorable lines and scenes, but the whole thing maybe doesn't work as well as you remember it.
Right.
Is that fair?
I think that, like, even talking about this now, I was like, oh, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I like, but while I was watching it, I was like,
right,
what is this?
I heard a great term by Jake a couple weeks ago. YouTube clip funny.
Okay.
That's kind of what the movie is.
The compilation. You can do the compilation of the best scenes and then be satiated and you don't have to watch. I mean, it's, what, 90 minutes?
It's not too long of a movie at all. I mean, actually, 125 without commercial, without a preview or credits.
Yeah.
So it's not long. I mean, it's not a long movie, but I think just scenes you remember and kind of chuckle at, but as a movie, it's not great.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's our review of Billy Madison.
Summer of Sandman continues next week.
Summer of Sand. Wedding Singer and Waterboy.
Wedding Singer and Waterboy next week.
All right.
And I think you were you wanting maybe a special guest to come on for Waterboy?
Oh, yeah. Okay, we could do that. Yeah.
Maybe we do that next week.
Yeah, definitely. Someone who used to play college football, maybe. You know, because we need someone who is an expert to get the real
to scoop. Figure out which is better, water or Gatorade.
Yeah, I remember that scene. I'm remembering another scene now, which might be uncomfortable.
I'm trying to think.
about it hard. The football turns into something.
Oh.
All right.
right. That part.
All right, Adam, what have you been watching? Anything else?
I've actually watched a decent amount here. Yesterday, behind the curtain, yesterday was 4th of July when we are recording this. So I watched the 4th of July movie, Jaws.
Born on the 4th of July. Oh, Jaws. Okay.
Yeah, not Born on the 4th. I almost watched Born on the 4th of July, shot at Milo Butterfingers.
All right.
On SMU Boulevard.
All right. I've been there. That's Mino's place I like to go to.
Yeah. It has a little plaque that says, Born on the 4th of July, shot here.
Oh, wow.
No, Jaws, which is, I would say now at this point, you know, we watched,
it was like the first summer blockbuster ever, right? That's
right.
Like kind of coined the first summer blockbuster.
Yeah. We watched, what was it? Was it, Contagion?
Mm-hmm.
In Contagion at the beginning of the, this pandemic, we were like, oh, this is weird. It makes a whole lot of sense now. I will say at the point that we are now, Jaws is actually a much better representation.
Oh, really? Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
There is a inherent danger that is killing people, and that damn mayor just will not close the beach. He's like, listen, it'll be bad for our economy.
I need to rewatch this. This
we
is great.
Need this. It's exactly what it is. Like, that's it is Jaws.
And people keep going in the water because it's cool, right?
Right. Well, the difference is that once people find out that, oh, yeah, it actually was a shark attack, like,
yeah.
After the first shark attack, they said, hey, it was a boat accident. It wasn't a shark attack.
Right, right.
And then the child died in front of everyone, and they were like, oh, there's a shark. That's not good. And everyone's like, we need to stay out of the water. Then they killed the shark. The experts were like, no, the shark's not dead. Don't go back out there. And then they said, no, we're having everybody come in for 4th of July. Our businesses need this. Shutting down for one day is like shutting down for 3 weeks. We have to let people in. And they do it. And guess what? That Bruce the shark is back and he's hungry.
Is his name Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's what Spielberg named him. He's not named Bruce in the movie. It's just a shark
from Jaws.
Yes.
You know, Adam, that they didn't ever show the shark, so it's to make it more scary.
They do show the shark. They don't show it a lot. Yeah. Apparently, there is a lot of footage of it, and Spielberg was like, ooh. it does not...
Big oof.
Does not look as scary as I hoped it would. I mean, the stuff that's in there, it's still pretty effective just because they go and they do everything really quick. But yeah, there's parts where it looks like you're on the whatever, the tour at Universal.
Right.
And you just see it, and it, like, opens its mouth and turns, like, side to side. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's not really how a shark moves. I want to see a real shark. What I really wanted to see was a CGI shark. I wanted to see the Meg.
I wanted to see the shark from Lost that had a little Dharma logo on his side.
I don't remember. That was, I don't remember the shark.
There was season two. Well, it's because it was a split second thing. So season two, when Sawyer and Michael's and Jen's Braff blow up, there's a scene underwater. There's actually a scene with a shark, and it looks real fake because it's just a little fin that goes up. But they show it underwater, and it just swims by quickly. And if you pause it at a certain point, there's a Dharma logo on its tail.
Oh, see, they knew it. And people said they didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
It was planned.
It was all planned out. Well, that was season two when they introduced the Hatch and the Dharma Initiative.
Yeah. So I watched Jaws. Jaws is perfect. Like, it's really good. The only thing is that it may be a little lengthy at the end when they're kind of like the shark kind of attacks the boat and then goes back away, and then it attacks in a different way, and then it goes back, and then it does it again, and then it goes. But for the most part, just like so good. It's such a good movie. Love it. Another very good movie that I watched. Very
is Jaws
good.
A horror movie?
Yeah, I would say so. I watched The Mask.
I was thinking about watching that last night. I saw it was on Hulu.
Hulu.
Yeah.
I
don't think I've ever seen The Mask.
You've never seen The Mask?
I don't think I have.
This was a movie that I would watch all the time
as
a kid. It is very fun.
Yeah.
It's like, it's insane. And people may hear me shit on Billy Madison and then praise The Mask and be like, what the fuck? Like, The Mask is truly insane, but it's very fun in a like a super fun way. The Mask is like a superhero movie where the superpower is Jim Carrey gets really horny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like the horny superhero.
Says somebody stop me, and you probably should stop because that's assault.
Well, you see,
I'm gonna write that on the comedy Facebook post thing. That's a new comedy. Jim Carrey, The Mask 2, set in 2020. Somebody stop me. Well, you better, because that's assault.
The thing is about him being horny is that when he gets horny, the way he shows how horny he is he dances with them. And you know what? He's really good at it.
He is?
Yeah. He's so good. There's a lot of fun stuff in this. Basically, the idea is that he puts on the mask and becomes whatever his deepest desires are. And he's just like a guy who really likes cartoons. And so it's basically just, hey, Jim Carrey, do cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. I enjoy it. Like, it's cheesy and campy and, like, super ridiculous, but in all the ways that make me feel good. I would watch it, Trey. I'm interested in what you would think, because I guess nostalgia, you would say, where it's just like there was moments where I would be able to quote lines and I was like, wow, I've hidden that away for years.
Seen commercials for it in previous. I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. Though maybe it's like something I'd seen and just forgot about.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? Like Mortal Kombat was like something I'm like,
right, where I remember bits and pieces.
Well, I don't think I ever saw it, but I watched it and I'm like, how did I not see this when I was a kid? Because I was into video games and karate, and it was both those things,
right? Yeah,
and laser tag. So I don't know. It seemed like I should have seen that movie.
What did I have another thought on The Mask? I don't think so. Other
does
than
he say I'm smoking.
He does say smoking, and he does
say
somebody
turned into like a
somebody
cartoon.
Stop me. What?
Somebody's that was like an animated. They did like a cartoon of it, right?
Yeah, they did. Which I think kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole idea is like, hey, let's just get Jim Carrey
right
as animated as possible, as a human being. Like, it takes away the fun of it.
They did a ton of, like, they did, like, a Beetlejuice one, something
right.
like that.
Exactly, and that's kind that's of the same thing, where he's, like,
yeah.
where it's, like, hey, it's, like, a real world, but it's wacky in right. kind of all these different ways. And that's fun to see, but it's not necessarily not as, fun just to see it as a cartoon.
Yeah. Does he ever say, nobody knew who I was until I put on the mask?
No, not in this one. Hmm. But he's, it's fun. The mask is on Hulu.
I was born in the dark. Murdered by it. Batman.
I also watched White Men Can't Jump.
Okay. That's with Rosie Perez. Why'd you give him all the money?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want all the money, Billy!
I've never seen White Men Can't Jump.
I hadn't either. And so this was my first time. And
can they jump? That's the question. Can they jump?
Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He can jump.
Oh. Okay.
He jumps at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley Snipes is very funny in this.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson, I mean, the whole point is that he's not supposed to look like he's good at basketball.
Yeah.
And so basically the plot of White Men Can't Jump is like Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson hustle people in basketball games.
Yeah.
Because Wesley Snipes is like playing, and then he'll be like, come on, pick anyone on this court and I'll beat you guys. And they always pick the white guy.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also dressed like a total dweeb. And that's why they try to get him. Yeah, he's wearing like a
baggy clothes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, backwards hat. And and then they school him. They make so many behind-the-back passes. And then, like, it's just like,
right?
It's like if the goal of the game was to make behind the back passes, they did not
just
make
like
any
a movie
like
that has a bunch of flea flickers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they don't make any like exceptional shots. It's always just like layups and like open jumpers. But they set it up with like crazy like between the legs passes or behind the back.
Oh, dude, those are
like
great.
All these spins.
Between the legs is like, it's solid. Yeah. That's how you know that someone's good at basketball in a movie. They do it. Between the legs.
There's a bunch of like race commentary in it.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Like,
doesn't hold up.
You don't really hear Jimi Hendrix. And, that's the mildest. There's something that Woody Harrelson says in the movie that just made me just be like, whoa. Like, what is this? Like, it's out of nowhere. He doesn't seem like he's like has any sort of animosity towards other cultures necessarily, and then says something that's just like out of the blue and very surprising.
Has Woody Harrelson ever played a white supremacist? He never does, but and I don't think that's who he is
just,
as a person
you just
at
think
all.
That
but he looks like he could, right?
I would say he probably could. Let's.
I'm not saying anything about his character. I think he's actually a pretty good person in real life, but
I think he was tearing down 5G towers not so long ago.
Oh, is he conspiracy theorist guy?
In April 2020, Harrelson received criticism in the press for sharing a report about the negative effects of 5G and its role in the coronavirus. I haven't fully vetted it, but I find it very interesting, he wrote.
Look, man, he's just learning in this world we live in. He's just trying to learn.
Yeah.
You know? Cut him some slack. I was always a Woody Harrelson fan.
I think he's good. I always enjoy him when he's in stuff.
Yeah. He's very good. He's like an actor that if they're in a movie, I'm very happy that they're in the movie. Or, you know, like, oh, Woody Harrelson's in it, good.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
I also watched the first Thor.
Okay.
Dude.
Happy 4th of July.
That movie sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like a real mess. And I mean, I guess, you know, I've been pretty outspoken and not liking Ragnarok. Like, whatever. Give me Ragnarok 1 million times over whatever that bullshit was.
Well, that's why they did Ragnarok, because the first two Thor movies were so bland.
They're so bad.
And which is crazy, because, like, you know, that is the setting of the Norse mythology setting is awesome, you know? And they needed to definitely go 100% into that. And that's kind of what they did with Ragnarok. You know, they made it look like a metal album cover, which it should have been from the start. It should have been metal as fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, God of War does that really well. The new God of War, it really kind of, it commits to that Norse mythology stuff. And yeah, it was so boring.
It's so weird because it's like kind of all the Norse mythology stuff and it all happens and then it's just like
real life.
Him in a small town and with no powers for so much of it.
Uh-huh. Which I guess they're trying to do the fish out of water thing. Wouldn't it be funny if this Norse god was in our world? But I think you're really, with that, you're kind of losing your best stuff, which is the Norse mythology stuff.
Also,
that's badass.
What's going on with his eyebrows in this movie? I just watched it. I don't know. I don't know if
they
remember. Like moved his wig up higher than it should be or whatever, but his forehead looks enormous.
Yeah.
And it looks so weird. I don't know what exactly it is, but it's so strange. It looks wild. Don't watch the original Thor.
I think the only Marvel movie I've not seen is Dark World.
I still need to watch Dark World. I think I'm set after that because I've watched Did I watch Ant-Man and the Wasp?
And the Wasp? I think I did.
I'm trying to remember if I did. I think I would have had to, right?
Yeah. That was what. And that also had the end was important to Endgame, right?
I did see that. Yeah. I saw that eventually. I saw it after Endgame, but I did.
Must
see
have left
it.
An impression with you, if you know.
Man, I had. I really don't remember it.
Remember Marvel?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I remember Marvel. Also, every time, because I get it for the most part, the like the first Avengers movie and stuff like that. Like, I get it. But then there's always like, all right, I don't really know this character story or like what's going on here. And so I'm like, I know I've missed a few movies. I'll go back and I'll watch it and it'll make more sense. And it just never makes more sense for the most part. And that feels like a problem to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like there's never really like the Vision stuff. I don't know what.
Yeah, I never got the Vision stuff. Now I think it's robot.
It's part of the Age of Ultron.
Yeah, which I think I was multitasking watching that movie.
And then, but like after Age of Ultron, he's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just better just to say, all right, well, I enjoy these parts of the movies and maybe I don't have to go back and watch all of them.
Let's do a marathon, every single one of them.
Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth have zero chemistry at all.
Yeah, I wish they had casted someone else and then had Natalie Portman play a better role, because I like Natalie Portman.
That's true.
You know.
She's cool.
She is great. I think she was my first crush, probably, from Phantom Menace. Yeah.
You were like, I'm a little slave.
I'm 10. Boy. I'm 10 too. I'm 10 as well. Would you want to date me?
What's up? I'm also 12.
I am also 12.
Please. On to some news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on. I've watched something.
Oh, wow. I just assumed.
No, I watched something last night. I watched mid-90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did you like that?
A lot different than I expected. It felt very indie.
It's, you know? It's so indie.
Yes. And it it's definitely... I was kind of expecting it to be sort of a boyhood thing where I'm like, I remember that. Not there's, that at all.
I mean, there's a little bit.
Well,
it's not as much as...
Remember this?
It's definitely not boyhood.
Remember this 90s kid?
Right.
It was more like I liked the idea of skateboarding as a Ute. I never did it. I watched skating videos with friends because I thought it was cool. Uh-huh. Never actually skateboarded. I also wasn't an affluent kid.
Right.
It was nostalgic without relating to any of it. You know what I mean? It was like an interesting time and place.
Yeah.
But I don't think I necessarily... that doesn't matter. I mean, there are a lot of movies I don't relate to. But I was just... A movie called Mid-90s. I thought it was going to be a little bit more... 90s nostalgia, and it wasn't, but that's fine. I'm not saying that's a slight against it. I'm just saying it wasn't what I expected. Yeah, it's very, it's I don't know if you call it sad, but it's a interesting, it was interesting. I think I enjoyed it all right.
I think it's pretty sad.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a problem calling it sad.
On Hulu, it said comedy. And I'm like, where was any of it was a comedy?
Like, none of it is a comedy.
No, it is.
Like, there's...
All he wants is his brother's attention and affection. And he gets none of that. And then he gets these, you know, these people who are kind of his friends. I guess they are
his friends.
They're
his friends, but like, they go and they do drugs.
And they're all going nowhere.
Sex.
Yeah, they're just kind of going, and I don't know. It's a bit sad. I mean, happy. I don't know.
I wish the kid in the movie was maybe 1 or 2 years older.
Yeah,
I know the whole point is that he's not even within this. He's kind of not supposed to fit in because he's so much younger.
So young.
Than everyone else, but situations that he's
looks
put in,
out of place too. Just I think he doesn't look as rough as the other kids, you know.
Right?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch a little kid try to
make it out,
try to touch a boob.
Yeah.
It's not even in like a funny way. It's like a serious like.
Yeah.
I know Jonah Hill is all like, I don't need to do comedy. I'm a serious actor. Well, that's his thing. He's not just an actor anymore. He's like, listen, I'm an actor and a director.
And a writer.
And you'll refer to me as Jonah Hill, actor, director. preferably director, actor.
Right.
And meanwhile,
writer, director, actor.
Meanwhile, his sister is like doing what he should be doing.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I guess you can't do that forever into like your 40s and you have to kind of evolve and adapt to a certain. But
he's been nominated for an Academy Award twice.
It's fine. He's doing it right. But I would say like you can do stuff like this first piece of news, An American Pickle. Have you watched this trailer?
I've not.
So this is Seth Rogen, new movie coming to HBO Max, I believe.
Okay, I have HBO Go. Do I have HBO Max?
I do. No, you do not.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Yes. So this is Seth Rogen. This new movie where he plays like a pickle maker. In the 1920s, who comes to America to find a better life for his family, and then he falls into a vat of pickle juice and is completely preserved, and then comes out 100 years later and meets his grandson 100 years later to see what all the struggle and pain he went through in his life, to see what that has come to for him. And he's like an app developer or some bullshit like that.
Millennials, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. But if you watch the trailer, like, that's kind of like the joke premise, but it's looks like it's very much about like connecting with family and like dealing with loss and stuff like that. Like, it's obviously like it has comedic roots,
right?
But it is
has
much
a deeper message.
Much more than that. Yeah, it's like very obviously
it's
like
not
even
a food
even
orgy.
More heart. Yes, even more heartfelt than most of like the Apatow stuff, which is always. Like, hey, at the core, there's some sort of like human element to it.
It's okay to be a virgin.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you should have sex, and the goal is that. Yeah, yes. I mean, you should be pushing
should.
To have sex.
Yeah,
but
it's okay though if you have.
But like, it's okay, and sometimes the horny people you know maybe need to have less sex.
Yeah, a little bit less. Come on, man. Come on now.
You a little bit more, them a little bit less.
Yeah.
Guess what? Happy medium for both.
You know what? It's all about having boundaries and having, you know, medium and it's just about balance. Having a balance, right?
Yeah. This movie looks pretty funny. It's kind of like Seth Rogen also plays both the pickle maker and the present day guy. So it's like half him doing like Willem Dafoe in Lighthouse, sort of. And then
would that be a weird movie to watch with your roommate? The Lighthouse.
Only if you make it weird. If you're like, hey, I got this hand carved this mermaid
for you. Hey.
I start
I
hit
doing
it
the speech.
In your mattress.
You don't like me cooking.
I think it's good for roommates to watch that. Also, Austin yesterday was like, hey, have you seen Brigsby Bear? And I was like, all right. Come on, dog.
Is he trolling you? How has he not seen it?
Well, he doesn't like movies like we do, Trey.
I know, man.
Well,
when's Spencer going to come back?
He liked it, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Spencer's gone.
Oh, no.
I watched... This is not going to apply to whatever general audience is listening to this at all,
okay.
But you'll enjoy this. I watched a show called Robbie on YouTube. It's a Comedy Central show that they just put on YouTube. They decided not to. It's about a guy who wants to be a basketball coach. His dad's like the legendary high school basketball coach, and he's trying to do it, but he's just kind of like a fuck up or whatever. And then his ex hookup from a long time ago is like, hey, we have a 10-year-old kid and I never told you about it. So that's kind of the general thing. But the part about Spencer, there's a guy in it who just like three times in an episode is like, I don't lie to my wife. I love my wife. I love my life. I love my house.
Yeah.
It's very funny. I watched it and I was like, ah, that's Spencer.
One idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loving your wife sucks.
That's lame. Lame stuff.
AMC.
I watched a show about a guy who doesn't love his wife. It's called The Sopranos. That's the life I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
At the bada bing.
Bada bing.
The bing. AMC. Push back. It's like, hey, listen, if Tenant's going to get pushed back, we're just not even going to pretend to reopen before. This is the only thing that will save us, and we are going to wait it out.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably should. I don't think people are ready to go to theaters anytime soon. Honestly, don't. You know, there's a story about Walmart opening up a lot of their parking lots to be
a drive-in.
One of the stories you pulled.
It is not, but
okay.
That's a good one though. Yeah, 160 Walmarts. Yeah,
yeah.
Are
I think
gonna
that's
do drive-in
a way
theaters.
To, go. I think that would be a way to go, is to start putting up makeshift drive-ins or open up old drive-ins, you know, and do it that way. Because I think, I mean, Mark Ribier is doing that for concerts. I think that's perfect for movies.
I
don't see why we shouldn't be doing more of that.
I had an awesome drive-in experience when I went to the drive-in. No complaints from me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all for that. Just because it does feel a little different if you have to sit in your car. It doesn't feel quite as much as like, hey, but whatever. You're out of the house. You're doing a thing. Well,
I remember the only drive-thru I went been to was in Ohio. I probably told this story before. And we saw Dr. Doolittle, the Eddie Murphy one. Uh-huh. The one where Eddie Murphy, or the, what was that, you think, the tweet?
Fuck you, monkey, I'll never let you suck my dick or whatever.
It was that, and it was the Truman Show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This two wacky comedies.
Wacky comedies. With that, wacky
that Truman
comedians.
Show, that wacky, wacky comedy.
Uh-huh. Truman Show's very good.
Yeah, so now Tenet is set to open on August 12th.
Yeah, push that back a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
AMC's aiming for July 30th to open, to kind of like get everything ready, and then they'll be ready to go for August 12th.
All right. I don't think so. I don't think you get. I think you need to push that to 2021, bro.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah. And also, it's like that feels like an unfair burden to put on Tenet.
Yeah,
because now they're like, listen, we need this to save the movie theater industry. Like, if this movie does not do as well as we hope, then the industry itself, like. Watching movies in theaters as we know it may not exist in the future. And so I'm Christopher Nolan's like, oh man.
I gotta
make sure this
makes movie sense. Jesus. He's gonna save us. Save it all.
And the other thing is like they're acting like that, like AMC in general. I have no sense that anyone outside of like kind of hardcore moviegoers have even the slightest idea of what Tenet is.
I don't think a lot of people do.
Or like even have knowledge that it's like there's not really like John David Washington is big. You'll be like, hey, it's Denzel's son. And then people be like, oh, okay. And then they're like, I mean, oh, you mean that guy from Ballers? like what? Like he's been in stuff.
We've talked about it though. Like Christopher Nolan is a big name. And
right.
People know him. I mean, he's maybe one of the last few auteur directors that bring in a lot of money. I mean, even Scorsese doesn't do that anymore, you know? So I think he's a big name to bank on.
But, like, I don't
know.
It's
not
like
Dark Knight.
If this was to come out in the next few weeks, do you think, I mean, I'm not even saying like a full segment on the ticket. Do you think that anyone would mention it at all?
On the ticket?
Yeah. That there's a movie that's coming out.
Yeah,
that
E! News. I mean, Corby would.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Dan. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. But
I don't know. I think Corby would, 100%.
There is.
They have, yeah.
There is some exciting news for movie stuff. Mm-hmm. First Cow. The A24 movie that's supposed to...
I remember hearing about that at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that was kind of their interest. It was that, and then what was it, The Green Knight or something like that? That may not be right, but there's
some... Green Room?
No, not Green Room.
Watch that again.
But,
No.
Well, that's, very, anyway, First Cow
coming out
on VOD next week.
All right, I'm down to watch that. We can watch First Cow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna watch First Cow.
Yeah, we'll watch that cow
anytime that we can watch a
new movie.
A new movie, an A24 movie, which I don't think I've watched like that kind of movie in a while. Like we're watching fucking Adam Sandler movies.
Jeez. People talk about like not having anything to talk about. I think we've reached that depth.
So, you know, first cow. It's
moo moo.
Set in the 1820s.
Is this horny Civil War chicks again?
I don't think it's horny Civil War chicks as much as it's maybe horny just cows. People not like fighting to survive.
Yeah,
I don't know. July 10th, you can buy it on VOD. July 21st, you can rent it. So maybe
wait for
the 21st.
What about them rentals?
And then, Amazon Prime Video's little watch party thing. Have you seen this?
I've seen that. Yeah, it's only for a select few movies. It's not a huge selection.
Right.
But I've seen you can do that, which I would be down to do something like that.
We could watch Gotti together, Trey.
Adam, actually, isn't that someone's punishment?
Didn't Spencer get that? I think that was Spencer's.
God, he's never going to do any of that.
No.
No, he's dead.
It's for Amazon Originals, mostly. Okay. So, like...
Oh, I have some news.
Oh.
Speaking of Amazon, mm-hmm. they're doing a Fallout series on Amazon. Brought to you by the Westworld people.
That's right. I saw something about that. I wasn't really... Sure. That's a pretty good IP.
You can work with that world. Yeah. You could definitely do something with that.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Kind of the 50s aesthetic that mm-hmm. it has with the... Yeah, you could definitely do something with that. I think that'd be fun. Kind mm-hmm. of a Mad Max-y sort of thing.
Yeah.
You could do a lot. And there's really... It's kind of... Again, it's a huge world. You don't have to do the main plot of the story or anything. You just do it. Now, I wonder where it's going to be set, right? Because there's a lot of different locations in mm-hmm. Fallout.
It could be Vegas, anywhere. That's Boston, one of their
Washington?
Big things. What, yeah. Nuketown?
Every season could be someplace new. That'd be interesting. They just do like, hey, it's like a, what do you call it? Each season's different. Kind of different locations.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like what The Walking Dead was, where they just kind of like...
Oh.
Yeah. It could be exactly like The Walking Dead.
Oh.
Everyone's favorite show.
Oh. It kills me right there. I don't like that. I don't like hearing that, Adam. Got anything else?
Nope. Bye.
Bye.
And more next time on Super Films Cast 64!